We've all had the experience of missing something. I think all of us have missed appointments for one reason or another, or possibly even missed an important appointment that we had of some kind, and we feel bad about it. But usually we handle it pretty well. If we miss a bus, we just get on the next one, and if we miss an appointment, we make another one, and miss a visitor, we go see him, or if we miss a phone call, they'll probably call back. And if you miss a meal, you can always eat later. All misses, however, are not as easy to correct. For instance, if you miss April 15th deadline for filing, your income taxes will result in a penalty. And if you miss a business deadline or a payment deadline, there's usually consequences that are being paid for it, like a penalty or a late payment fee. Sometimes a sick person misses medicine and consequently suffers from it. There are spiritual implications in these thoughts if we think about it. What could happen to us if we miss heaven? Think about it for just a minute. That's a terrible thing to think about. I don't want to think about it, actually. What should you do if you miss heaven? Well, the Bible states that some are going to miss heaven. It is a fact. There's no doubt about it. According to Jesus, not everyone will be saved. He says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. According to this text, there are going to be some sad surprises in Judgment Day. There will be some who will be sorrowful, who will regret missing out on heaven. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, we're told in this passage that we have a responsibility to examine ourselves and to test ourselves. And we are doing this with regard to whether or not Christ is in us. And the implications are whether we are qualified or disqualified. And Paul says, unless indeed you are disqualified. That means you look inside yourself and you don't find Christ living there. Really serious implications. Sadly, many will just die in sin. Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, the desires you of the devil you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because he has no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Sad to say, many people will be lost because they died in their sins. Some didn't even know they were in sin. They had no concept of it whatsoever. But they still will be lost if they die in that condition. Isaiah 59 very plainly tells us that sin, by its very nature, separates us from God. God's hand isn't shortened that he can't save. God's ear isn't heavy that he can't hear. But he says, your iniquities have separated you and your God, so that he will not hear you. That's why sinners are separated from God. That's why, right there. But turn to Habakkuk 1 and 13. We don't turn over there very often. You may have a little trouble finding that. But Habakkuk 1 and verse 13, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? This is speaking to God. He is of pure eyes and he doesn't behold wickedness. But truly, we understand God has rules and regulations, and those rules say few go to heaven. Few are saved. Another passage that comes to mind is Matthew 7, 13 and 14. I think that would be a very common thought in this regard about entering into the narrow gate, for broad is the way, and broad is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Most of the world, I think, knows exactly what they want. They don't have the least bit of concern for God's requirements. John says in 1 John 5:19, we know we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You know, we often lament that all around us we find wickedness and we find sinful people. But John says that's the way it is. Like it or not, Satan has the majority of the people pretty much duped. And that, of course, is a sad truth. Sad truth. But again, we see only a few going to heaven. Why will there be so many missing heaven? Well, let's just break it down. Why do people miss heaven? One thing that stands out is they fail to obey God. They don't obey God. In Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, it speaks of Jesus and says, though he was a son, he learned obedience to the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Flat out, obedience is absolutely necessary to please God. We cannot find salvation without obedience. Look at Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Jesus was obedient, and we must be the same. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Obedience is a prerequisite, if you will, to salvation. Many will miss heaven because they refuse to obey God. But there are some who want to obey God, but they are unfortunately filled with pride. Obadiah, verses 3 and 4. Obadiah talks here about the pride of your heart. And he says, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rocks, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, for there I will bring you down, says the Lord. We know specifically this talking about Edom, and they were filled with pride. But pride is a major barrier for many people in the world today. Many people are too proud to admit when they're wrong. They just can't say wrong. They want to explain it away every way they can. Zephaniah 2 and verse 10 says, "This they shall have for pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord. The Lord will be awesome to them, for he will reduce to nothing the gods of the earth. People shall worship him, each one from his place. Indeed, all the shores of the nations, you Ethiopians, you shall be slain by my sword, and stretch out his hand against the north. Destroy Assyria and make Nineveh a desolation, a dry wilderness. The herd shall lie down in her midst, every beast of the nation. Both the pelican and the bittern shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be the threshold. For he will lay bare the cedar work. This is the rejoicing that dwelt securely. They that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? Everyone who passes by shall hiss and shake his fist." There is no doubt that pride was the cause of the destruction that was to come to Judah. Pride had caused her to turn her back on God and not to obey him. She said, "I am and there is none beside me." But God brought her low. James, in James 4 and verse 6, he says, that he gives grace to the humble. And God resists the proud, but gives grace to those who are humble. Pride causes many people to miss heaven. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." What's the problem with the person who thinks he stands? He didn't think he can do anything wrong. He's all filled up with pride, and he says, "No way I can do anything wrong. I'm right about everything." Well, you better watch out. You better watch out. Pride is a dangerous thing and will cause you to stumble and, yea, even fall. There's a lot of people who just flat out refuse to live faithfully to the Lord. 2 Peter 1 and 10, he says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." You know what's in that context? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and so forth. Yeah, that's right. But what happens to many people? They turn their back on that. They don't listen to it. They just go on living the way they want to, and consequently miss heaven. I think one of the things that's a key here is give diligence to make your calling and election sure. We will go to heaven if we are diligent. Notice that. If we're diligent. In John 8 and 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples." Oh, there's that if. If you abide in my word. It's an if-then statement. If you abide in my word, then you will be my disciples. And there's some people who think, well, no matter what I do, it doesn't matter. God saved me, and I'm going to make it to heaven without even trying. Well, dear one, Jesus said, there's no such thing as impossibility of apostasy. You are going to have to remain faithful all of your life if you want to go to heaven. I think some people just fail to recognize the goodness and the severity of God. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity on those who fell, speaking about Israel in the wilderness, severity. But toward you, goodness. If, notice, if you continue in his goodness. Can I just forget about serving God and live the way I want to and he'll save me anyway? No, he's not going to save you unless you remain faithful. God is a God of severity to those who will be cut off. But we're going to have to remain faithful if you want to go to heaven. That's all there is to it. We have got a lot of people who are going to go to miss heaven just because they like sin. We already noted in Isaiah 59, sin separates us from God. But I want you to note something here that I think is real important. Because I'm not talking to people who are living in the world. I'm talking to people who are in Christ. And I want to remind you that unforgiven sin will cause you to miss heaven. This is very important because it comes in the category of take heed lest you fall. Sometimes we get to thinking about, well, I'm so good now that all that sin I did, you know, it doesn't really make any difference. Well, it does make a difference. It does make a difference. In James 1 and verse 13, and I'll begin with verse 13, read through 15. James says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And sin, when it is conceived, our desire when it's conceived gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Death is the result of sin. Not physical death, spiritual death. That's the separation that's being talked about over there in our text from Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Is we have to start thinking about sin can be in my life. Sin can be part of my life. And I haven't taken care of it. I haven't done anything about it. Don't think you're going to get to heaven and let that sin still be there. It won't be there. You must be sure. Now, what if you miss heaven? Well, you need to start to think about a few things. And I know these things are really unpleasant. In fact, this morning when Edward was getting the songs ready, he said, this is really a downer lesson, man. I'm going to talk about missing heaven. I love it when the song leaders are so conscientious to pick songs and do such a good job, by the way. Well, I want you to think about these things. Let's think about them together, okay? Think about how you will have no more opportunities to obey the gospel. Now, if you're not a Christian and you have sat here time after time after time after time, heard the gospel preached and done nothing about it, you kept thinking, well, maybe someday. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, in the acceptable time I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Get it? Don't be like Felix in Acts 24 and verse 25 and say, hey, go away now. I'll have a convenient time someday and I'll call for you. No, don't do that. Don't be like Agrippa and say, well, you almost persuade me, but not quite. Think about how your fate is sealed and eternity is started. If you miss heaven, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Think about all the times that you rejected the invitation. Think about all the times you failed, possibly, to let your light shine before men. Think about all those in the church and in your family that you've let down. And now, start feeling some things. You're going to feel, according to the scriptures, the gnashing of teeth. We're told in verse 30 of chapter 25, Matthew, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's representing the anguish of torment that will be found there. You'll never have any rest. You talk about being tired now. You're not going to have any rest. Read with me from Revelation 14, beginning with verse 9. The third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image, receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and forever. And they have no rest day and night. Now, listen to that. No rest day and night. Now you say, well, these are physical terms. And this can't possibly be in a spiritual realm. Let me tell you a little something. The Lord used physical terms to describe a spiritual place. Like it would be kept up day and night, day and night, day and night, and being tormented day and night, day and night, day and night is what it's going to be like spiritually for those who miss heaven. You get a hold of that? It's going to be like that spiritually for those that miss heaven. That's not a pretty picture. But you're going to also feel great pain. Listen to it. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew 25 and verse 46. Everlasting. Not just a little short time. You will feel like you are in torment. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man woke up, raised up his eyes, and he was in torment. He was a man that was self-absorbed. He was a man that had all that this world could afford him. But he woke up in Hades in torment and saw Abraham afar off. And he cried out, Abraham, have mercy on me. And he sent Lazarus, and he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Now remember, these are physical terms describing something that's happening spiritually. But Abraham said, son, remembering your lifetime, you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. Now he's comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from from there passed to us. There's no change in it when you get to torment. There's no change. It's just the beginning of eternity. And it goes on and on and on. And you're going to feel that you are in the same place that the devil is. And you're right. The devil is going to get the same thing you're going to get. According to what we read in Matthew 25 and verse 41, he will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You want to be on a first-hand basis, first-name basis with the devil? You'll be, if you miss heaven. No doubt. That's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself groping in outer darkness, according to the text in Matthew 25 and 30. You're going to realize that there is absolutely no hope. There'll be gnashing of teeth. You'll find yourself in a place that cannot be changed. No hope of getting out. You're stuck. You're there. And you will never have a bit of rest. Ever, ever. You're going to find out that you feel great pain and torment. You'll feel you're in a place that will mean eternal torment for you. But you know something? There is nothing but frustration ahead for you. You're going to have nothing but frustration whenever you have pain for all eternity. Then you start to share. Yeah, you start to share. You find out that others are in hell with you. You're not the only one there. Remember, majority of people are going there. So there's going to be a whole lot of folks there suffering the same things that you are. Some of the people that are going to be found there, cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. These are going to be your eternal labors, folks, if you miss heaven. If you miss heaven. And you're going to suddenly realize there is no positive thing that you can do. No positive thing that you can do. It's all over for you. All over. You've missed it. Get it? It's too late. If you miss heaven, you can't do anything to correct it. That's serious, isn't it? Think about it. Think about it. No more hope. But I have some good news for you. You don't have to miss heaven. There's no reason for you to miss heaven. You have an opportunity to obey the gospel if you haven't done so thus far. You have an opportunity to correct your life and to bring yourself back to God. And you can follow these things and repent, be baptized, all these things, and be faithful unto death. But what will happen if you miss heaven? I heard someone say one time, if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. That's true, because you're going to be eternally lost. You're going to be punished eternally. So, what can you do if you miss heaven? The only thing you can do is suffer. That's all you can do. You don't have to. But I'm telling you what it's going to be like. Think seriously about it. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, do so today. But if you're a child of God and you haven't been faithful to the Lord, don't let that be a problem either. Don't let yourself be found in sin whenever you positively don't have to be. Simply confessing your sin to God and asking for His forgiveness, you can walk in newness of life today. You can walk in newness of life today. The only question is, are you willing to do what He said? Are you willing? Will you turn from your sin, turn unto Him for forgiveness, and walk in the newness that He would have you walk in this life?